Welcome to tonight's Zoomcast on Moroni and entering into the rest of the Lord. We'll start in Moroni chapter 7. And now I, Moroni, write a few words of my father Mormon, which he spake concerning faith, hope, and charity. And after this manner did he speak unto the people, as he taught them in the synagogue, which they had built for the place of worship. And now I, Mormon, speak unto you, my beloved brethren, and it is by the grace of God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, and his holy will, because of the gift of his calling unto me, that I am permitted to speak unto you at this time. Wherefore I would speak unto you that are of the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord, from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. Here Moroni clearly delineates the difference between entering into the rest of the Lord in this life and resting with the Lord in the next life. So what does it mean to enter into the rest of the Lord? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So entering into the rest of the Lord is entering into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. This is not to have a vision of Jesus Christ, and this is not even to have Jesus Christ come down and visit us here on this earth. This is to go into his kingdom, which is also called the high mountain or the seventh heaven. Verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now this holy mountain that they accompanied Christ to was not an earthly mountain. This was the heavenly mountain, or the seventh heaven, where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. And going back to verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moses chapter 1. The words of God which he spake unto Moses, at a time when Moses was caught up to an exceedingly high mountain. Again, Moses was not caught up to an earthly mountain. This is the heavenly mountain or the seventh heaven, where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. And he saw God face to face, and he talked with him, and the glory of God was upon Moses. Therefore, Moses could endure his presence. Now, there is a prerequisite to entering into the rest of the Lord, and that is that one receives the baptism of fire and baptism of the Holy Ghost, whereby one becomes a son or daughter of Christ, whereby one receives a sanctification that is required to, at a future time, enter into the rest of the Lord. Now, Moses received his baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, at the time of his burning bush experience. And this ascension experience happens previously to his call to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But after one receives the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, one must continue to feast upon the words of Christ, to ask and to knock and to act, that one might be instructed about how to part the veil and enter into the Lord's rest. Again, not just to have a vision and not even to have Christ come and visit us here on this earth as he did to his 12 apostles after his resurrection or as he did to the Nephites, but to go where he is. And once one has been sufficiently instructed about how to enter into the rest of the Lord after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, one must receive another baptism of fire. Now, not the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a one-time event, and it is a priesthood ordinance, but because no unclean thing can come into God's presence in his glory, one must be cleansed from all sin and thus receive a baptism of fire. Now, we have an example of a baptism of fire that sanctifies without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If we go to 3 Nephi chapter 11. Now, here, Father is introducing his son, Jesus Christ, to the Nephites. And the Nephites need to be sanctified before Christ comes and ministers to them, even though they're not having an ascension experience. And this is preparatory both to their baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and entering into the rest of the Lord. Still, they had to be sanctified before Christ could come to them. And in verse 3, and it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice as if it came out of heaven. And they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it appears to them that they adhered to the center insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake, yet did pierce them to the very soul, and it caused their hearts to burn. That portion of the light of Christ, which had been appointed to them, was sufficient to cause their hearts to burn, to penetrate them to the very center, to the very center of their soul, and it caused them to quake. This is an example of the sanctification that takes place with a baptism of fire. And back in Moses chapter 1, in verse 2, when we read that the glory of God was upon Moses, it means that Moses had to have a brand new baptism of fire. He had to be completely sanctified before entering into the Lord's rest. And that baptism of fire had to progress to a transfiguration. And then he was being able to taken up to the heavenly mountain. Now, verse 9, and the presence of God withdrew from Moses, that his glory was not upon Moses. And Moses was left unto himself. And as he was left unto himself, he fell unto the earth. Or in other words, once transfiguration ends, you cannot stay in Christ's presence in his glory. You must leave. And verse 10, and it came to pass that it was for the space of many hours before Moses did again receive his natural strength like unto man. And he said unto himself, now for this cause I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed. Now, when one enters into the rest of the Lord, going up to that high heavenly mountain, coming into his presence in the fullness of his glory, while it is deeply personal and intimate, what it is never is casual. And having this type of experience is different from an experience that one may have seeing a vision of Christ or even having Christ come and visit them on this earth. For when one comes into his presence in his glory, one realizes, as never before they could have, how desperately they need a Savior, and that awful gulf that separates us from him. Now, few men will ever know the pomp and circumstance that this world can bestow, like one who grew up as a prince of Egypt. But in comparison to that, entering into the rest of the Lord, Moses again says, "And now I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed." And verse 11, "But now mine own eyes have beheld God." Now we're about to get in a very important key about what it means to enter into the rest of the Lord in this life. "But now mine own eyes have beheld God, but not my natural, but my spiritual eyes. For my natural eyes could not have beheld, for I should have withered and died in his presence. But his glory was upon me, and I beheld his face, for I was transfigured before him." Or in other words, we can't take our physical body into Christ's presence in his glory until we're translated. But after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, once we have been sufficiently instructed and receive a brand new baptism of fire and are transfigured, our spirit is taken up into the seventh heaven. And our spirit, which is comprised of matter and is able to feel and touch and hear and smell and experience things in a hyper reality, is able to come into Christ's presence in his glory. And this is the state and condition in which one receives their calling and election and has it made sure, or is sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, continuing in verse 12. "And it came to pass that when Moses had said these words, behold, Satan came tempting him, saying, Moses, son of man, worship me. And it came to pass that Moses looked upon Satan and said, Who art thou? For behold, I am a son of God, in the similitude of his only begotten. And where is thy glory that I should worship thee? For behold, I could not look upon God, except his glory should come upon me, and I were transfigured before him. But I can look upon thee in the natural man. Is it not so, surely? Blessed be the name of my God, for his spirit hath not altogether withdrawn from me, or else where is thy glory? For it is darkness unto me, and I can judge between thee and God. For God said unto me, Worship God, for him only shalt thou serve. Get thee hence, Satan, deceive me not, for God said unto me, Thou art after the similitude of mine only begotten. And he also gave me commandments when he called unto me out of the burning bush," parenthetically speaking, at the time that I had my baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, "saying, Call upon God in the name of mine only begotten and worship me." Or in other words, he was instructing Moses about what he needed to do to go on from the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and enter into the rest of the Lord. And this is the same thing as in 2 Nephi chapter 32. When Nephi, in verse 1, poses the questions, or the question, you know, "I perceive that you wonder what you should do after you've entered in by the way or received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, as defined in 2 Nephi 31:17. And Nephi says in verse 3, "And angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I say unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what you should do." So it's this feasting upon the words of Christ. And feasting upon the words of Christ means to continue to ask and to knock, to cry out unto God, as the words of Christ are then placed into your heart. As you act upon them, then you are instructed sufficiently that at the appropriate time, you might enter into the rest of the Lord. And verse 6, "Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh." Or in other words, because there are no shortcuts on the path of ascension, focus upon receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, for it is the next step. And once you have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then feast upon the words of Christ. Seek after, receive, and act on revelation. That, while in the flesh, Christ might manifest himself unto you in the fullness of his glory and teach you directly. "Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. Now, going back to Moses, chapter 1, verse 17. And he also gave me commandments when he called unto me from the burning bush, saying, call upon God in the name of mine only begotten and worship me. Which is the same message as we just read in 2 Nephi 32, after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, to feast upon the words of Christ, to be instructed about how to enter into his rest. Also notice that as soon as Moses had his ascension experience, Satan was able to come unto him and try and give him a counterfeit experience. But the reason that he knew that Satan was trying to give him a counterfeit experience was that he had just entered into the rest of the Lord. And therefore, he was able to discern between the glory of God and the glory of Satan. And Satan's glory was as darkness in comparison. Now, what if Satan had appeared to Moses before his ascension experience? Well, he wouldn't have had the reference to be able to discern, because Satan is able to appear as an angel of light. And if you have not entered into the rest of the Lord, you do not have a standard by which to judge. So, the Achilles heel of those who receive spiritual experiences, whether it be an answer to prayer, whether it be prophetic or revelatory dreams or visions, even near-death experiences, or appearance of otherworldly beings, is discernment. So, had Moses not just entered into the reference or into the rest of the Lord and had that reference, the way that he would have known is to check in with Father and ask him, Heavenly Father, is this being from you? And he would have received the answer, no. And that is what we should do after every revelatory experience. We should check in with Father. There is safety in it. And if at least part of the time we don't get the answer, no, this was not from me, then we're already deceived. Because everybody who receives communication from God is allowed to receive communication from the adversary. And when it is overtly dark, like this experience, you know, that doesn't take discernment. What takes discernment is when the counterfeit experience is so close to the real thing, or we don't have a frame of reference, and so we simply don't know that it's not close to the real thing. We must check in with Father and ask him if the experience was from him. Verse 18, and again Moses said, I will not cease to call upon God. I have other things to inquire of him, for his glory has been upon me, wherefore I can judge between him and thee. Depart hence, Satan. And now when Moses had said these words, Satan cried with a loud voice and ranted upon the earth and commanded, saying, I am the only begotten, worship me. And it came to pass that Moses began to fear exceedingly. And as he began to fear, he saw the bitterness of hell. Nevertheless, calling upon God, he received strength. And he commanded, saying, and I want you to notice that Moses didn't have the power in himself. He had to call upon God. And Moses has dismissed Satan, and will continue to do so. But he had to be endowed with sufficient power from on high for Satan actually to leave. And this reminds me of an experience from the life of Joseph on June 4th, 1831 at the Isaac Mully Farm, when the second order of Melchizedek priesthood was restored, and with the Church of the Firstborn to the earth. Joseph had prophesied 2 days before that before this general conference, the church was over, that there would be those who would see the Father and the Son, and that the man of sin would reveal himself. Well, on the second day of the conference during this priesthood meeting where the second order of Melchizedek priesthood was restored, as soon as Harvey Whitlock had been ordained, immediately he became possessed by the man of sin. Well, the first man to recognize what had happened was Hiram. And Hiram, raising his arm to the square, commanded Satan to leave, and nothing happened. Joseph, being more wise in these matters, bowed his head and asked Father, Heavenly Father, what would you have me do to deal with this dark entity or this class of dark entities? And the voice of the Spirit came to Joseph and said, ask Harvey if he believes in God. At which point he raised his head, looked at Harvey Whitlock, and asked Harvey if he believed in God. When Harvey said yes, immediately he was released. This, you know, follows that pattern. We need to be endowed with the power and authority to command Satan and his servants to leave. And God would instruct us in the very moment about what he would have us do. Verse 20. And it came to pass that Moses began to fear exceedingly. And as he began to fear exceedingly, he saw the bitterness of hell. Nevertheless, calling upon God, he received strength. And he commanded, saying, depart from me, Satan, for this one God only will I worship, which is the God of glory. Now Satan began to tremble, and the earth shook, and Moses received strength and called upon God, saying, in the name of the only begotten, depart hence, Satan. And it came to pass that Satan cried with a loud voice, and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and departed hence, even from the presence of Moses, that he beheld him not. And now of this thing Moses bore record. But because of the wickedness, it is not had among the children of men. And it came to pass that when Satan had departed from the presence of Moses, that Moses lifted up his eyes unto heaven, being filled with the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of the Father and of the Son. And calling upon the name of God, he beheld his glory again, for it was upon him. So Moses is going to have another ascension experience. He receives another baptism of fire and transfiguration. And calling upon the name of God, he beheld his glory again. For it was upon him, and he heard a voice saying, blessed art thou, Moses, for I, the Almighty, have chosen thee, and thou shalt be made stronger than many waters, for they shall obey thy command as if thou wert God. Here, Moses is having the second order of Melchizedek priesthood sealed upon him, or the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood, the same order of the priesthood that was restored to Joseph and 22 other men on June 4th, 1831 at the Isaac Morley farm. But remember, there are two parts to every priesthood. The first part is the ordination, where authority is received. The second part is the sealing, where man receives power in that priesthood. And this is the sealing by God's own voice of that priesthood upon Moses. Now, if we cross-reference JST Genesis 14 regarding this priesthood and its sealing upon a man, now, Melchizedek was a man of faith, verse 26, who wrought righteousness, and when a child feared God, and stopped the malice of lions, and quenched the violence of fire. And thus, having been approved of God, he was ordained a high priest after the order of the covenant which God made with Enoch, it being after the order of the Son of God, which order came not by man, nor the will of man, neither by father, nor by mother, nor by beginning of days or end of years, but was of God. And it was delivered unto men by the calling of his own voice. And the example that we've just read in Moses 1 is the sealing of that priesthood by the call of his own voice. According to his own will, unto as many as believed on his name. For God, having sworn unto Enoch and unto his seed with an oath by himself, that everyone being ordained after this order, or in other words, being ordained and sealed unto this order, and calling should have power by faith to break mountains, to divide the seas, to dry up waters, to turn them out of their course, to put at defiance the armies of nations, to divide the earth, to break every band, to stand in the presence of God, to do all things according to his will, according to his command, subdue principalities, powers, and this by the will of the Son of God, which was from before the foundation of the world. Now we have another good example of this order of the priesthood being sealed upon a man in Helaman, chapter 10. When Nephi, the brother of Lehi, has this order of the priesthood sealed upon him. And again, it is done by the calling of God's own voice. At the end of verse 3 in Helaman chapter 10, behold, a voice came unto him saying, blessed art thou, Nephi, and may I submit that you could substitute Joseph Smith's name in here, because Joseph, before he comes on the scene for his second ministry to gather out the strength of the Lord's house and lead the end time exodus, also has this priesthood sealed upon him by the calling of God's own voice. Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done, for I have beheld how thou hast with unwearingness declared the word which I have given unto thee, unto this people, and how thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but hast sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now because thou hast done this with such unwearingness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word, and in deed, in faith, and in works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask which is contrary to my will. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye shall have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine, and with pestilence, and destruction, according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto you power that whatsoever you shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And thus shall ye have power among this people. And thus, if ye shall say unto this people, unto this temple, it shall be rent in twain, it shall be done. And if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast down and become smooth, it shall be done. And behold, if you shall say that God shall smite this people, it shall come to pass. And now behold, I command you that ye shall go and declare unto this people. And I want you to liken this unto Joseph Smith in his return and to the end time servants who serve with him. And now I command you that ye shall go and declare unto this people. And thus saith the Lord God, who is the Almighty, except ye repent, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. Now, back to Moses chapter 1, verse 25. And calling upon the name of God, he beheld his glory again, for it was upon him, and he heard a voice saying, blessed art thou, Moses, for I, the Almighty, have chosen thee, and thou shalt be made stronger than many waters, for they shall obey thy command as if thou wert God. And lo, I am with thee, even unto the end for thy days, for thou shalt deliver my people from bondage, even Israel my chosen. And it came to pass that as the voice was still speaking, Moses cast his eyes and beheld the earth, yea, even all of it, and there was not one particle of it which he did not behold, discerning it by the Spirit of God. Now, Moses is now having the vision of all things, the end from the beginning, just like Nephi had beginning in 1 Nephi chapter 11, just like the brother of Jared had in Ether. And he beheld also the inhabitants of thereof, and there was not a soul which he beheld not. And he discerned them by the Spirit of God. And their numbers were great, even numberless as the sand upon the seashore. And he beheld many lands, and each land was called earth. And there were inhabitants on the face thereof. And it came to pass that Moses called upon God, saying, tell me, I pray thee, why these things are so, and by what thou madest them. And behold, the glory of the Lord was upon Moses, so that Moses stood in the presence of God, again in the seventh heaven, and talked with him face to face. And the Lord God said unto Moses, for mine own purpose have I made these things. Here is wisdom, and it remaineth in me. And by the word of my power have I created them, which is mine only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth. And worlds without number have I created. And I also created them for mine own purpose, by the Son I created them, which is mine only begotten. Now, cross-referencing the NC 76. The NC 76 outlines this path of ascension that we have just been reading about. And in the NC 76, verse 51, we have baptism by water by the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. Verse 52, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Verses 53 and 54, and who overcome by faith, which means the same thing as after receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, feasting upon the words of Christ, not only to seek after and receive, but also to do, that we might be instructed sufficiently to part the veil, that we might receive another baptism of fire, be transfigured, and enter into the rest of the Lord, or in other words, and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise is Christ. And the sealing is having one's calling and election made sure, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true. When one has their calling and election made sure by entering into the rest of the Lord, which rest is the fullness of his glory, one now has ascended to the level of just and true. And they are they who are the church of the firstborn. And this is when we become members of the celestial order of the gospel, not meaning that we are celestial yet, but we have become members of the celestial order of the gospel, or the church of the firstborn. And then in verses 56 through 59, we have the next ascension level, which we just read about, that Moses received being ordained and sealed to the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood by the calling of God's own voice. They are they into whose hands the Father hath given all things. Verse 55. They are they who are priests and kings who have received of his fullness and of his glory. And a priest of the Most High after the order of Melchizedek, which was after the order of Enoch, which was after the order of the only begotten Son. Wherefore, as it is written there, God's little g, even the sons of God, big g. Wherefore, all things are theirs, whether life or death, or things present or things to come. All are theirs, and they are Christ, and Christ is God's. And they shall overcome all things, wherefore let no man glory in man, but rather let him glory in God, who shall subdue all enemies under his feet. These shall dwell in the presence of God and his Christ forever and ever, and are they whom he shall bring with him when he shall come in the clouds of heaven to reign on the earth over his people. Or those who have ascended to this level will be caught up into heaven and will receive the ordinance of translation in the heavens and descend with Christ. These are they who shall have part in the first resurrection. These are they who shall come forth in the resurrection of the just. These are they who come unto Mount Zion and into the city of the living God, the heavenly, the place, the holiest of all. For this is where this ordinance is performed. And these are they who have come to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of Enoch and the firstborn. So, a delineation. Moses and Nephi had this priesthood sealed upon them, the second order of Melchizedek priesthood, which is the ascension level of what we're reading about right now, translated being, but the ordinance of translation is a separate ordinance and is performed in the heavens, just like it was for the three Nephites and for John the Revelator. These are they who have come to an innumerable company of angels and the general assembly and church of Enoch and of the firstborn. These are they who whose names are written in heaven, where God and Christ are the judge of all. These are they who are just men made perfect through Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, who wrought out his perfect atonement through the shedding of his own blood. So it's important to understand that translation does not automatically happen with the sealing of this order of the priesthood. For that only takes place when it comports with one's calling and one's mission. And this is what those who will ultimately be part of the 144,000 receive, but most of their missions as part of the 144,000 won't start until the millennial period begins, and they will have received this ordinance on the morning of the first resurrection. DNC 67. Verse 1 and then 10 through 14. Behold and hearken, O ye elders of my church. And I would bring up that the Doctrine and Covenants is largely a sealed book. And the key to unlocking the sealed book of Doctrine and Covenants is the parable of the redemption of Zion in DNC 101, where we find out that Joseph Smith only had the opportunity to lay the foundation of the restoration. But because we would reject the fullness, it would be taken from us. But Joseph would return before the second coming of Jesus Christ to finish the restoration and gather out the strength of the Lord's house, or those among the Latter-day Saints who would receive the doctrine of Christ and enter into the new covenant of a broken heart and contrite spirit, not only with their lips, but also with their hearts. And so, just as Isaiah used historical precedent as end time metaphor, so does the Doctrine and Covenants. And most of the Doctrine and Covenants is actually written to the saints in our generation, even using the historical precedents back in Joseph Smith's first ministry, but it is an instruction manual to us about how we are to ascend and what we are to do in the times leading up to the Exodus. And verse 67 is no exception. Behold and hearken, O ye elders of my church, who have assembled yourselves together, whose prayers I have heard, and whose hearts I know, and whose desires have come up before me. And verse 10, and again, verily I say unto you, that it is your privilege and promise I give unto you that have been ordained unto this ministry, that inasmuch as you strip yourselves from jealousies and fears and humble yourselves before me, for ye are not sufficiently humble, the veil shall be rent and you shall see me and know that I am not with the carnal, neither the natural mind, but with the spiritual, or just what we read in Moses, that we enter into the rest of the Lord, not with our physical body, but our spirit body, which is comprised of matter, is taken up, and that is what enters into the rest of the Lord. Verse 11, for no man has seen God at any time in the flesh, except quickened by the Spirit of God. Or in other words, except he's received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, receives a brand new baptism of fire, and been transfigured. Neither can any natural man abide the presence of God, neither after the carnal mind. Ye are not able to abide the presence of God now, neither the ministering of angels. Wherefore, continue in patience until ye are perfected. DNC 131. Verses 7 and 8. There is no such thing as immaterial matter. All spirit is matter, but it is more fine or pure, and can only be discerned by pure eyes. We cannot see it, but when our bodies are purified, we shall see that it is all matter. Again, referring to our spirit, which is taken up into the seventh heaven and comes into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. Moses chapter 7. Verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that Enoch continued his speech, saying, behold, our father Adam taught these things, and many have believed and become the sons of God. Well, how do we become the sons and daughters of God? Let's cross-reference 3 Nephi chapter 9. This is the new and everlasting covenant in the Book of Mormon. Verse 17, and as many as received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And in verse 20, Christ tells us exactly how we are to receive him and thus become the sons and daughters of God. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost. So it is with the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we become sons and daughters of God. And the gospel is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Enoch was preaching the doctrine of Christ, that his people might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, thus become his sons and daughters, thus be prepared to enter into his rest, and thus go on from there for men to be ordained and sealed to the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood, for women to have the matriarchal order sealed upon them, that they then might receive the ordinance of translation. And it came to pass that Enoch continued his speech, saying, behold, our father Adam taught these things, and many have believed and become sons of God. So Adam was teaching the doctrine of Christ, that those during his day might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and start the path of ascension. And many have believed not, and have perished in their sins, and are looking forth with fear in torment for the fiery indignation of the wrath of God to be poured out upon them. And from that time forth, Enoch began to prophesy, saying unto the people, that as I was journeying and stood upon the place of Mahujah and cried out unto the Lord, there came a voice out of heaven saying, turn ye and get ye upon the Mount Simeon. This is largely metaphorical language of Enoch, having received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and thus becoming a son of God, being instructed in all things that he should do, to ascend to the high mountain and come into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And it came to pass that I turned and went up on the mount. Now, this mount wasn't an earthly mountain. This is the heavenly mountain, that place where Christ reigns in the fullness of his glory. And I beheld the heavens open, and I was clothed upon with glory. Or in other words, Enoch received a brand new baptism of fire, and that baptism of fire progressed to transfiguration. And I saw the Lord, and he stood before my face, and he talked with me, even as a man talketh one with another face to face. And he said unto me, look, and I will show unto thee the world for the space of many generations. Enoch also has the vision of the end from the beginning. DNC 84. Verses 23 and 24. Now this Moses plainly taught. What was Moses plainly teaching? Well, in verses 19, 20, and 21, it's talking about the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and baptism of water by the Melchizedek priesthood. Or in other words, the power of godliness being manifest to men in the flesh, which is the reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So Moses was teaching his people the new and everlasting covenant, just like Enoch, just like Nephi, just like Joseph Smith, that his people might offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit and receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is what sanctifies a man, a woman, or a people preparatory to entering into the rest of the Lord. Now, this Moses plainly taught to the children of Israel in the wilderness and sought diligently to sanctify his people, i.e. through offering up a broken heart and contrite spirit and receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that they might behold the face of God. But beholding the face of God in this context does not just mean seeing Christ in vision. It means entering into the rest, which rest is the fullness of his glory. But they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore, the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. This is what all true prophets do. They teach the people the doctrine of Christ, that they might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and enter into the rest of the Lord, which is the opportunity of God's people during every open dispensation. First Nephi chapter 10. Regarding Nephi's first ascension experience. Starting in verse 17. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, having heard all the words of my father concerning the things which he saw in vision, and also the things which he spake by the power of the Holy Ghost, which power he received by faith. And remember that faith is not simply belief, but belief and trust is hope. Faith is seeking after receiving and acting on revelation. Which power of the Holy Ghost he received by seeking after receiving and acting on revelation or faith on the Son of God. And the Son of God was the Messiah who should come. I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in the time that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. Now, Nephi has already had the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's about to have an ascension experience, and he's about to have the vision of all things. And there are maybe even millions of Latter-day Saints who, like Nephi, have also desired to see and to hear and to know for themselves the things which Lehi saw in the dream, but they haven't had the Nephi ascension experience. And why is that? It's because there are no shortcuts on the path of ascension. And Nephi has already received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he has feasted upon the words of Christ and been instructed in all the things required of him that he might enter into the rest of the Lord. And he's about to complete that process. Verse 18. For he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, if it so be that they repent and come unto him. And Nephi is saying, Latter-day Saints, all of you can receive what my father Lehi received and what I am about to receive if you will embark on the same path that we have embarked on. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto them by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in these times as in times of old, as well in times of old as in times to come. Wherefore the course of the Lord is one eternal round. Therefore remember, O man, for all thy doings, thou shalt be brought into judgment. Wherefore, if ye have sought to do wickedly in the days of your probation, then ye are found unclean before the judgment seat of God, and no unclean thing can dwell with God. Wherefore, ye must be cast off forever. And the Holy Ghost giveth authority that I should speak these things and deny them not. Chapter 11, verse 1. For it came to pass that after I had desired to know the things that my father had seen, and believing that the Lord was able to make them known unto me, as I sat pondering in my heart, I was caught away in the spirit of the Lord. Now, this being caught away in the spirit of the Lord, Nephi is not just having a visionary experience. He has received a brand new baptism of fire, which has progressed to transfiguration, and his spirit has been taken up and is going up to the seventh heaven. And before he comes into Christ's presence in his glory, he is given the context about who Christ is and exactly what Christ will do. I was caught away in the spirit of the Lord, yea, into an exceedingly high mountain, which I never had before seen, and upon which I never before had set my foot. And the Spirit said unto me, behold, what desirest thou? And I said, I desire to behold the things which my father saw. And the Spirit said unto me, believest thou that thy father saw the tree of which he hath spoken? And I said, yea, thou knowest that I believe all the words of my father. Now, there's an important distinction that needs to be made here. because Nephi believed the words of his father Lehi. Because Lehi spoke by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, Nephi accepting his words was not trusting in man or relying upon the arm of flesh. As a cross-reference, let's go to 2 Nephi 28. For God expects us to receive all words which are spoken or given or granted by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, whether it be by man or the Spirit or angel or by Christ himself. Verse 31 in 2 Nephi 28, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man or maketh flesh his arm or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. And so the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord wants to know from Nephi is if he believed the words of his father, because Lehi spoke by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost and Nephi was expected to receive those words with gladness. And Nephi responds in 1 Nephi chapter 11, verse 5. And I said, yea, thou knowest that I believe all the words of my father. And when I had spoken these words, the Spirit cried with a loud voice, saying, Hosanna to the Lord, the Most High God, for he is God over all the earth, yea, even above all. And blessed art thou, Nephi, because thou believest in the Son of the Most High God. Wherefore thou shalt behold the things which thou hast desired. And behold, this thing shall be given unto thee for a sign, that after thou hast beheld the tree, and the tree represents Jesus Christ, which bore the fruit is eternal life made possible by the power of Christ's atonement, which thy father tasted. Thou shalt also behold a man descending out of heaven, and him shall ye witness. And after ye have witnessed him, ye shall bear record that it is the Son of God. 2 Nephi 11, verses 2 through 3. And now I, Nephi, write more of the words of Isaiah, for my soul delighteth in his words. For I will liken his words unto my people, and I will send them forth unto all my children. For he, Isaiah, verily saw my Redeemer even as I have seen him. Not just in a vision, and not even Christ coming down here, but Isaiah and Nephi both went to the high mountain of the seventh heaven and entered into the rest of the Lord. And verse 3, and my brother Jacob also has seen him as I have seen him. Or in other words, Jacob also has entered into the rest of the Lord. Wherefore, I will send their words forth unto my children to prove unto them that my words are true. Wherefore, by the words of three, God hath said, I will establish my word. Nevertheless, God sendeth more witnesses and proveth all his words. Mormon chapter 1, verse 15. And I, being 15 years of age, being somewhat of a sober mind, therefore I was visited of the Lord and tasted and knew of the goodness of Jesus. Now, there are three different levels that we can have experiences with deity on, at least visual experiences. The first level is what is called a type 1 vision, and in its most common visionary experience. And when our spirit is in our body is a veil, and it creates static and interference for our spiritual eyes. But we can start opening our spiritual eyes and seeing what is happening on the other side of the veil, either right around us or someplace else. But things are usually dim, not a lot of detail. You may just see a flash or an outline, but we are actually seeing. And this is a type 1 vision. And we may see Christ in a type 1 vision. A type 2 vision, or a type 2 experience, because it encompasses more than visions, encompasses a broader range of experiences. A type 2 experience can include a prophetic or revelatory dream where we interact with Christ. It can include a daytime waking high-definition vision, like Joseph Smith had at the first vision, where we see Christ, like Lehi had in 1 Nephi chapter 1. It can include an actual physical interaction with Christ, like the apostles had, or like the Nephites had after Christ's resurrection. This is a type 2 experience. And many have type 1 and type 2 experiences with Christ before they have an ascension experience. And we are not given enough information here in Mormon chapter 1 to know if Mormon had an ascension experience or a type 2 experience with Christ. Ether chapter 12, verses 38 and 39. And now I, Moroni, bid farewell unto the Gentiles, and also unto my brethren, whom I love, until we shall meet before the judgment seat of Christ, where all men shall know that my garments are not spotted with your blood. And then shall ye know that I have seen Jesus, and that he hath talked with me face to face, and that he told me in plain humility, even as a man telleth another in mine own language concerning these things. Ether chapter 3. Starting in verse 9. And the Lord said unto him, because of thy faith, this is the brother of Jared, thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood, and never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast, for were it not so, ye could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this? So the brother of Jared is seeing the finger of Christ in a type 2 vision. And this type 2 vision, just as Nephi sat pondering upon the things that his father had talked about, and that led to an ascension experience, so does this for the brother of Jared. And he answered, nay, Lord, show thyself unto me. And the Lord said unto him, believest thou the words which I shall speak? And he answered, yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth and canst not lie. Now, notice that we have a similar experience with Nephi and with the brother of Jared. Lehi spoke by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, and the angel of the Lord wanted to know if Nephi believed the words of his father because of that. Well, here, Christ is speaking by the power and authority of what we call the Holy Ghost. And he wants to know if the brother of Jared can discern that, and if therefore he will receive all of his words. And he answered, yea, Lord, I know that thou speakest the truth, for thou art a God of truth and canst not lie. And when he said these words, behold, the Lord showed himself unto him. And he said, because thou knowest these things, ye are redeemed from the fall. Wherefore ye are brought back into my presence. Therefore, I show myself unto you. We have the second part of the brother of Jared's experience, the part which he is now ascended to the high mountain. Behold, I am he who is prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. And in me shall all mankind have. And in the corrected version of the 1840 and 1842 edition of the Book of Mormon, which is not the current published version of the LDS scripture, it says, in me shall all mankind have light, and that eternally even they who shall believe on my name, and they shall become my sons and my daughters, through the doctrine of Christ, through the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And never have I showed myself unto man whom I have created, for Never has man believed on me as thou hast. Seest thou that ye are created after mine own image? Yea, even all men were created in the beginning after mine own image. Behold, this body, which ye now behold, is the body of my spirit. And man have I created after the body of my spirit. And even as I appear unto thee to be in the spirit, will I appear unto my people in the flesh. So, just as the brother of Jared was able to come into Christ's presence in his glory and come into Christ's presence, the presence of his spirit, and he is also in the spirit, and that is an absolutely real experience. I will appear unto my people in the flesh. And now, as I, Moroni, said, I could not make a full account of these things which are written. Therefore, it suffices me to say that Jesus showed himself unto this man in the spirit, even after the manner and in the likeness of the same body as he showed himself unto the Nephites. And he ministered unto him, even as he ministered unto the Nephites. And all this, that this man might know that he was God because of the many great works which the Lord had shown unto him. And because of the knowledge of this man, he could not be kept from beholding within the veil. And that is also what we strive to do. We strive to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that we might continue in crying out unto God, that we might be instructed everything that is required of us, that we might enter into the rest of the Lord. That he saw the finger of Jesus, which when he saw, he fell with fear, for he knew that it was the finger of the Lord, and he had faith no longer, for he knew, nothing doubting. Wherefore, having this perfect knowledge of God, he could not be kept from within the veil. Therefore, he saw Jesus and administered unto him. Or in other words, he was instructed in all things that were required of him. So seeing the finger of the Lord is both symbolic and literal. Symbolic meaning that through crying out unto the Lord after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, he was instructed in all things that he must do to enter into the rest of the Lord, which rest was the fullness of his glory. Now, DNC 93. Verses 1 through 4. Verily, thus saith the Lord, it shall come to pass that every soul who forsaketh his sins and cometh unto me and calleth on my name and obeyeth my voice and keepeth my commandments shall see my face and know that I am. In the same way, the children of Israel were instructed by Moses to behold the face of God, which is not just to see him in vision, but to enter into his rest. And that I am the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so, you know, going back to what we read in the Book of Mormon, you know, it also coincides with Christ is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. And that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the Father and I are one. And the Father, because he gave me of his fullness, and the Son, because I was in the world and made flesh my tabernacle and dwelt among the sons of men. And now 19 through 22. And I give unto you these sayings that ye may understand and know how to worship and know what you worship, that you may come unto the Father in my name and in due time receive of his fullness. Because once we have come into Christ's presence in his glory, and as we continue, there will come that point where Christ will introduce us to Father in the fullness of his glory, not just by vision, but through ascension. For if you keep my commandments, you shall receive of his fullness and be glorified in me as I am in the Father. Therefore, I say unto you, you shall receive grace for grace. Now, verily, I say unto you, I was in the beginning with the Father and am the firstborn. And all those who are begotten through me are partakers of the glory of the same and are the church of the firstborn. So there are different levels of becoming sons and daughters of Christ. The first level is to offer up as a sacrifice a broken heart and contrite spirit, sufficient that we might receive the baptism, a fire baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then thus become sons and daughters of Christ. But there is another being born again of Christ that happens when we come into his presence, which presence is the fullness of his glory. And all those who are begotten through me are partakers of the glory of the same. This begetting through Christ is to come into his presence, which presence is the fullness of his glory. And thus are the church of the firstborn. And remember, we read in DNC 76, verses 53 and 54, that once we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, or in other words, had our calling election made sure by the Holy Spirit of promise, who is Christ in the seventh heaven, they are they, verse 54, who are the church of the firstborn. DNC 101, verses 37 through 39. Therefore, care not for the body, neither for the life of the body, but care for the soul and for the life of the soul, and seek the face of the Lord. This seeking the face of the Lord is to enter into his rest. Always in patience, ye may possess your souls, and ye shall have eternal life. When men are called unto mine everlasting gospel and covenant with an everlasting covenant, they are accounted as the salt of the earth and the savor of men. So the purpose of ascension, the purpose of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and entering into the rest of the Lord, it's not just about us. It's so that we can be the savor of men, so that we can wear out our lives in the service of God, in bringing all who will unto a knowledge of the fullness of the gospel and the doctrine of Christ. DNC 88. Verses 3 through 7. Wherefore I now send upon you another comforter, even upon you, my friends. Now, another comforter, being differentiated from the first comforter or the Holy Ghost, even upon you, my friends, that it may abide in your hearts, even the Holy Spirit of promise, which we learned in DNC 7653 is Jesus Christ. But even more specifically, it's Jesus Christ in a specific mission of his as a keeper at the gate, and he employeth no servant there. Even the Holy Spirit of promise, which other comforter is the same that I promised unto my disciples, as is recorded in the testimony of John. This comforter is the promise which I give unto you of eternal life, or having one's calling and election made sure. Even the glory of the celestial kingdom. Or in other words, you become a member of the celestial order of the gospel, even the church of the firstborn. Which glory is that of the church of the firstborn, even God, the holiest of all, through Jesus Christ, his son. He that ascended up on high, as also he descended below all things, that he might be in all and through all things the light of truth, which truth shineth. This is the light of Christ, as also he is in the Son, and the light of the Son, and the power thereof by which it was made. John 14. Starting in verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, another comforter is different from the first comforter. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. And we just read in DNC 88, that this other comforter, the Spirit of truth, is none other than Jesus Christ. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, it doesn't mean that Jesus Christ is literally going to be inside you, but that this is a continuation of the process of becoming one with Christ and one with the Father. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live. Ye shall also live. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Or in that day that you come into my presence in the fullness of my glory, you will begin that process of becoming one with me and one with Father. And he that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest himself unto him. So, if one continues the path of ascension after receiving the second comforter, the day will come when Christ will take that man or that woman and present them to Father in his glory. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Or in other words, after the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you continue to ask and knock, feasting upon the words of Christ, not only to seek after and receive, but also to do, you'll be instructed in all things necessary to enter into my rest. DNC 130. Verse 3. John 14:23. Which, as we just read, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man will love me and will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, expanding upon that, DNC 130, verse 3. John 14:23, the appearing of the Father and the Son in that verse is a personal appearance. And the idea that the Father and the Son dwell in a man's heart is an old sectarian notion and is false. Now, in teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, pages 149 to 151, under the heading Two Comforters, Joseph said, the other comforter spoken of is a subject of great interest and perhaps understood by few of this generation. After a person has faith in Christ, repents of his sins, and is baptized for the remission of his sins, and receives the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, which is the first comforter, then let him continue to humble himself before God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness and living by every word of God, or as Nephi says, feasting upon the words of Christ. And the Lord will soon say unto him, son, thou shalt be exalted, when the Lord has thoroughly proved him and finds that that man is determined to serve him at all hazards. Then the man will find his calling and election made sure, or in other words, he will be sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Then it will be his privilege to receive the other comforter, which the Lord hath promised the saints, as recorded in the testimony of John 14. 12 through 27. Now, what is this other comforter? It is no more or less than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is the sum and substance of the whole matter. That when any man obtains this last comforter, he will have the personage of Jesus to attend him or to appear unto him from time to time. Or in other words, he will be taken up to the high mountain from time to time. And even he will manifest the Father unto him as that man or that woman keeps ascending as many times as is required to qualify to be presented to Father. Christ will present that man or woman to Father. he will manifest the Father unto him, and they will take up their abode with him. Or, in other words, he or she will start to become one with the Father and with the Son. And the visions of the heavens will be opened unto him, and the Lord will teach him face to face, and he may have a perfect knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So, as we take upon ourselves light, we ascend through veils. And there are many, many, many veils. And we are always either ascending through veils or descending and falling back. And as we ascend through veils, we have access to greater and greater portions of light and knowledge in the heavens. And when we come into Christ's presence in his glory, we now have access to that portion of revelation in the heavens that pertains to the celestial order of things in the Church of the Firstborn. And as we continue on that path, once we're introduced to Father, now we have access to an even higher level of revelation in the heavens and the celestial order. 2 Nephi 31, verses 17 and 18. Wherefore do the things which I have told you, that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water. And then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. So the gate through which we must pass to get on the path that leads to the tree, to partake of the fruit, the tree being coming into Christ's presence in his glory, and the fruit being having our calling and election made sure, is repentance, baptism by water, baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, and ye have received according to the commandments of the Father and the Son, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, ye should receive. And 2 Nephi 32, verses 2 through 3. Do you not remember that I said unto you that after ye had received the Holy Ghost, ye could speak with the tongue of angels? Now, how could ye speak with the tongue of angels, save it were by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for the words of Christ will tell you all things that ye should do. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you. And after he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. 3 Nephi 27:19. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Well, how do we wash our garments in the blood of Jesus Christ? A broken heart and contrite spirit, and receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then feasting upon the words of Christ. And Latter-day Saints, you did not receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost when you were confirmed a member of the church. This requires entering into the new covenant of a broken heart and contrite spirit, which at a bare minimum means placing everything upon the altar. And specifically, every day, receiving by the voice of the Spirit what God would command us individually to do, to offer up a broken heart and contrite spirit, that we might receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this can only be accomplished during an open dispensation, meaning that a man of flesh and blood upon the earth has been ordained and sealed to the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, the apostolic order. as is outlined in DNC 84. In DNC 84, verse 19, it says, "And this greater priesthood, the first order of Melchizedek priesthood, the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, administereth the gospel and holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God." Well, how does it do this? Because it's the authority to perform that ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Its reception is when one receives the key of the knowledge of God, even the mysteries of the kingdom, because they then have access to that level of revelation in the heavens, whereby they might be instructed about how to part the veil and enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, baptism by water, by the Melchizedek priesthood, versus the Aaronic, and of fire and of the Holy Ghost, those are the ordinances. The power of godliness is manifest. The power of godliness being manifest unto men in the flesh is the reception of the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And without the ordinances thereof and the authority of the priesthood, or in other words, when there is not a man to be found upon the earth who's been ordained and sealed to this order of the priesthood, the power of godliness or the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost is not manifest unto men in the flesh. 3 Nephi 9, verse 20. "And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit," parenthetically speaking, in light of DNC 84, during an open dispensation, meaning that everybody who qualifies will be allowed to live during an open dispensation and have contact with the fullness of the gospel that they might, if they will, enter into this new covenant. "Whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost." DNC 76, 52. The requirement being to perform this ordinance is that a man be ordained and sealed to this first order of Melchizedek priesthood. Verse 52, "that by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power." But while this is necessary to perform the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is not sufficient. The other portion is revealed to us in Moroni chapter 2. And these are the words that Christ spake to his 12 disciples when he touched each one of them one by one and sealed upon them the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood, which takes place at the end of 3 Nephi chapter 18. And these are the words which he spoke unto them. Verse 1, "the words of Christ, which he spake unto all his disciples, the 12, whom he had chosen as he laid his hands upon them. And he called them by name, saying, ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer." Well, why does that have to precede the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost? Because the ordinance can only be performed on one who has demonstrated to God that they offer up a broken and contrite spirit, and therefore Christ has already pled their case before Father and received permission from Father to adopt them as sons or daughters. And so they have to receive confirmation from the heavens that this has in fact taken place. "Ye shall call on the Father in my name in mighty prayer, and after ye have done this, ye shall have power." Or in other words, if an individual is to receive this ordinance, the man who's been ordained and sealed to this power after crying out unto God and receiving confirmation that he is to perform this ordinance, he receives a specific endowment of power to perform the ordinance on a specific individual. "Ye shall have power that to him upon whom ye shall lay your hands, ye shall give the Holy Ghost. And in my name shall ye give it, for thus do mine apostles." DNC 76, 52. "That by keeping the commandments, they might be washed and cleansed from all their sins and receive the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands of him who is ordained and sealed unto this power," when he cries out unto God, receives a confirmation, and is endowed with the power to perform the ordinance for a specific person or group of individuals. And then, verse 53, "and who overcome by faith and are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which the Father sheds forth upon all those who are just and true, they are they who are the church of the firstborn." This is the second comforter experience. This is the ascension experience. And 116 through 119. In DNC 76. Neither is man capable to make them known, for they are only to be seen and understood by the power of the Holy Spirit, which God bestows on those who love him and purify themselves before him, to whom he grants this privilege of seeing and knowing for themselves. That through the power and the manifestation of the Spirit, while in the flesh, they may be able to bear his presence in the world of glory. Or in other words, while a man or woman is mortal, although they can't take their mortal body into Christ's presence in his glory, they can receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, be instructed, and then receive a brand new baptism of fire and be transfigured, and their spirit is taken up into the rest of the Lord. That through the power and the manifestation of the Spirit, while in the flesh, they may be able to bear his presence in the world of glory. And to God, the Lamb, be glory and honor and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, when are these things to be? Well, we read in D&C 84 that to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then to proceed to enter into the rest of the Lord, it can only happen during an open dispensation. Well, we, in fact, live during an open dispensation because Joseph Smith, as is prophesied in D&C 101, has returned. He is not yet on the scene. He's not public. Like Isaiah says, he remains hidden in the quiver of the Lord as a polished shaft until the appointed time to come upon the scene. But even as a polished shaft in the quiver of the Lord, he has been ordained and sealed to the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood. Thus the heavens are open. Thus it's possible to receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost. D&C 101, 55 and 56. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, and the identity of the servant is named in 103, verse 21, verily, verily, I say unto you that my servant Joseph Smith Jr. is the man to my liking, the servant to whom the Lord of the vineyard spake in the parable which I've given unto you. Therefore, let my servant Joseph Smith Jr. say unto the strength of my house, my young men and middle age, gather yourselves together unto the land of Zion, the land which I have bought with money, which has been consecrated unto me. So now back in D&C 101:55, the Lord of the vineyard said unto one of his servants, Joseph Smith Jr., go and gather together the residue of my servants and take all the strength of my house, which are my warriors, my young men, they that are of middle age, also among all my servants who are the strength of my house, save those only whom I've appointed to tarry. Or in other words, when Joseph comes on the scene, he finishes the gathering out of the strength of the Lord's house, meaning those Latter-day Saints who received the doctrine of Christ with gladness, not only with their lips, but also with their hearts, they're gathered together for an end-time exodus. And on this end-time exodus, the 144,000 will be working with those who have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, to help them enter into the rest of the Lord. Let's go to D&C 103. Verses 15 through 22. Behold, I say unto you, the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Now I have to ask you, do you have to redeem something that hasn't fallen or been ransomed? Zion was established during Joseph Smith's first ministry. It fell, as was prophesied in D&C 101, and it gets redeemed in Joseph Smith's second ministry. Behold, I say unto you that the redemption of Zion must needs come by power. Therefore, I will raise up unto my people a man who shall lead them like as Moses led the children of Israel. The man who is raised up, as is identified in GST Genesis 50 and 2 Nephi chapter 3, is Joseph Smith Jr. He's the man like unto Moses, while Christ is the prophet like unto Moses. For ye are the children of Israel and the seed of Abraham, and ye must needs be led out of bondage by power and with a stretched out arm. And as your fathers were led at first, even so shall the redemption of Zion be. Therefore, let not your hearts faint, for I say not unto you as I said unto your fathers, mine angel shall go up before you, but not my presence. Talking about the children of Israel under Moses. saying that the children of Israel would not receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and would not enter into the rest of the Lord. Therefore, my presence did not go up before them. But I say unto you, mine angels shall go up before you, and also my presence. This is Joseph Smith and the 144,000 who have been ordained and sealed to the patriarchal order of Melchizedek priesthood. They go up before you. And the purpose of the 144 going up before you on the Exodus, which most likely will be incognito, is to help you do what is required to enter into the rest of the Lord. And in time you shall possess the goodly land, meaning New Jerusalem. Verily, verily, I say unto you that my servant Joseph Smith Jr. is the man to whom I liken the servant. Now let's cross-reference DNC 77. DNC 77, verse 11. What are we to understand by the sealing of the 144,000 out of all the tribes of Israel, 12,000 out of every tribe? Answer, we are to understand that those who are sealed are high priests ordained unto the holy order of God, you know, and as an aside translated, to administer the everlasting gospel, for they are they who are ordained out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people by the angels whom is given power over the nations of the earth to bring as many as will come to the church of the firstborn. Well, the context of this is specifically on the end time Exodus. 144 will be working with the elect or those who have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost on the Exodus to help them enter into the church of the firstborn, which is done through an ascension experience coming into Christ's presence in the fullness of his glory. And that's why in DNC 103 verse 20, it says, my presence shall go up before you. It doesn't mean that Christ has literally come down and is walking with the saints to establish New Jerusalem. It means that as the saints are going to New Jerusalem, they're having ascension experiences being worked with by the angels or 144,000. Now, JST Genesis 9, verses 21 through 23, this is also talking specifically about the end time Exodus. And this is God talking to Noah about the covenant that he made with Noah's great-grandfather Enoch about the return of the city of Enoch to the earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ and what would be required for that to happen. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant which I made unto thy father Enoch, that when men should keep all my commandments, or that on the end time Exodus, when we have a critical number of men and women who have received the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then are feasting upon the words of Christ, they are those who are keeping all of God's commandments, that they might enter into the rest of the Lord. Zion should again come on the earth, the city of Enoch, which I have caught up unto myself. And this is mine everlasting covenant, that when thy posterity shall embrace the truth and look upward, talking again about the strength of the Lord's house on the end time Exodus. Then shall Zion look downward, and all the heavens shall shake with gladness, and the earth shall tremble with joy. And the general assembly and the church of the firstborn shall come down out of heaven and possess the earth and shall have a place until the end come. And this is mine everlasting covenant, which I made with thy father Enoch. Or in other words, before New Jerusalem can be established, there has to be a sufficient number of men and women upon the earth who qualify to enter into its gates, which means they have to be just and true. They have to be members of the church of the firstborn. So once we have a sufficient number of men and women on the Exodus who become members of the church of the firstborn, then the city of Enoch can return and meet up with the end time Exodus and New Jerusalem can be established. And so for most who will receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, it will be on the end time Exodus. 3 Nephi 27, 19. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Moroni 7, verse 3. Wherefore, I would speak unto you that are the church, that are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord. Which hope cometh through receiving the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then feasting upon the words of Christ. From this time henceforth until you shall rest with him in heaven. Jacob 1, verse 7. Wherefore we labor diligently among our people, that we might persuade them to come unto Christ and partake of the goodness of God, that they might enter into his rest, lest by any means he should swear in his wrath that they should not enter in, as in the provocation in the days of the temptation while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, which is contained in D&C 84, where we read that Moses sought diligently to sanctify his people that they might behold the face of God, which beholding the face of God means entering into his rest, which rest is the fullness of his glory. So Jacob and all the holy prophets seek to do exactly the same thing, sanctify their people, they might enter into the rest of the Lord. And that is the privilege of God's people in this generation. And Alma 16, verses 15 and 17, or 15 through 17. And thus did Alma and Amulek go forth, and also many more who had been chosen for the work, to preach the word throughout all the land. And the establishment of the church became general throughout the land in all the region round about among all the people of the Nephites. And there was no inequality among them. And the Lord did pour out his spirit on all the face of the land to prepare the minds of the children of men, or to prepare their hearts to receive the word which should be taught among them at the time of his coming, that they might not be hardened against the word, that they might not be unbelieving and go on to destruction, but that they might receive the word with joy as a branch to be grafted into the true vine, that they might enter into the rest of the Lord their God. And as it was their privilege, so it is our privilege today. And if we will enter into the new and everlasting covenant with God, and offer up our broken hearts and contrite spirits, which terms must be received by revelation, not only with our lips, but also with our hearts, Christ will plead our case before Father. And once Christ has gained permission from Father to adopt us as sons or daughters, then is the ordinance of baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, authorized to be performed either by a man on this side of the veil or the other who has been ordained and sealed to the apostolic order of Melchizedek priesthood. And then if we will continue to feast upon the words of Christ, which is how we receive the baptism of fire, baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we will do that afterward, we'll be taught all things that are required of us, which is what it means to cling to the iron rod on the straight and narrow path, that we might reach the tree and partake of the fruit, that we might enter into the rest of the Lord, that he might seal upon us our callings and elections and make them sure in preparation for becoming one with Christ and one with the Father, that we might wear out our lives in this life to prepare the earth for the second coming of his Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.